In our Life Matters series, Backflip, we're following ABC documentary maker Mike Williams as he tries to turn his health around by learning to do a backflip. This episode, nutrition. There's no question that Mike can afford to lose a few kilos, and he'll have to if he's going to backflip, but he needs more than exercise. So today he's getting a consultation from a dietitian to learn about healthy eating. But first, a progress update.
Okay, just want to share something that happened today. For the first time in my life, I think I did a forward roll. So I tucked my head on the floor and pushed off with my legs, and the trainer pushed me as well onto this crash mat, and I forward roll, you know what I'm talking about, as opposed to a sausage roll, which is what I'm more used to. And that was really exciting. That was cool. I think what it did for me was, for the first time, I thought, yes, I can do a backflip. And I'm just realizing now that, you know, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and do a backflip. It's little steps. You take them one at a time. They add up. My confidence has skyrocketed. Yeah, I'm excited.
Hey, I've got something for you while I remember.
Alex Parker is a dietitian. Now, that's different to a nutritionist.
Oh, pineapple, yes, how good.
I do my research. I read your website. You've got a thing for pineapples.
Yeah, love it. Are you a fan of pineapples?
Yeah.
We should chop this up.
No self-control. I knew you'd do it straight in. Let's eat it right now. I was after a little bit more self-control, but that's all right.
Alex became a dietitian because she loves food and science. She helps run The Biting Truth.
All the information that we give out, it's 100% backed by science, and translating that science into a way that people can understand and they feel motivated to change. I think that's the most important thing.
Nutrition, habits, lifestyle. It's not one size fits all, is it? So Alex asked me a bunch of questions about my current lifestyle to make sure anything she said would fit in or be possible. And to start, this will give you a sense of how I used to eat.
Pick up a coffee on my way to work, and then picking up something else. Now, this could be a chicken sandwich, yeah. Or sometimes pretend I was living in New York and buy a bagel, yeah, with cream cheese.
Yeah.
You ever done that?
Yeah. When I was in New York, though, I actually was there.
You should try it in Sydney. It's not as good, but it is good. And lunch could be a chicken sandwich,
yeah.
Or maybe Thai.
Yeah.
And then at night, wouldn't eat anything until the night time.
Yeah.
And that would, this is sounding pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's all right. You can say that.
We've got to look at the day as a whole.
It doesn't get any better from there. So then at night, now I'm too tired to cook something.
You can see where this is going. And it involves cheese and a crust and pepperoni. Since this project began, though, a month ago, I've cleaned up my eating a lot. I've lost 4 kilos already, fist bump, but there's more I could do. I want to know more about eating healthy. Here are the top 5 takeaways, if I can use that word, I learned from Alex. The first one we hear about a lot, but it's really important. Focus on the meal.
We're in this society where everything's on the go. You know, we've got to be here, like we're trying to be in 2 places at once. And there's a lot of science to show that if we sit down for, this is for all our meals, anytime we're eating really, if we sit down at a table, remove distractions, so turn the TV off, put the book away, and actually focus on the meal and chew the meal properly, we're more likely to feel satisfied and therefore less likely to overeat or feel hungry soon after.
Now, coffee. You can take away my pizza, but you'll never take my coffee.
Caffeine in small amounts is okay. There's also been some health benefits associated with it, but that's caffeine really coming from coffee, not caffeine coming from an energy drink or another source. So certainly I think that one coffee a day can fit in for you. In terms of the milk you have with it, don't be afraid of cow's milk, especially in a coffee, there's not going to be much, and it's generally going to be higher in protein. But in saying that, soy milk is also a good option. It's got a bit of protein in there. I mean, I personally prefer soy with my coffees just for the taste. So are you liking the soy coffee, or you're having it because you think it's a healthier choice?
A bit of both.
Yeah, okay.
What I've found is if I have the soy, I don't need the sugar.
Definitely. If that helps you from adding the sugar into your coffee, then keep with the soy. And again, just really enjoy it.
I don't know if you can relate to this, but when I was a kid, my mum had a saying after dinner, and that saying was, fill up on bread. Did you have this? Now, I have an association with bread that bread is bad, but...
The bottom line is bread is not inherently fattening. It's not going to make you fat. It really comes down to the type of bread that you're choosing and the portions that you're having. So whereas if you were just trying to have, you know, one or two pieces as part of that meal and you were choosing a really nice grainy bread or a sourdough bread, then that is not going to make you fat. You know, it's going to be on par with having your muesli for breakfast. So as long as it's part of a balanced meal.
The balanced meal thing was something we kept coming back to, and it makes a lot of sense to me now. Keep your pyramid. Alex actually showed me a plate divided up, which is what the idea of the balanced meal is. And half was veggies or salad, a quarter was protein, a quarter was good carbohydrates, and then a little bit of good fats. This is what I should be shooting for at lunch and dinner. And this was my biggest surprise overall. It's not just about cutting things out. It's about balancing.
Focus on what you can include in your diet as opposed to what you've got to cut out. I think whenever people jump onto, they want to lose weight, they start going, okay, well, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this. And all these negative things you can feel, it's quite depressive what you can't eat. But if you think about what you can eat and what you can include, like including more vegetables, including more whole grain carbohydrates, that's going to make you feel like there's a lot of foods that you can have and it won't be so sort of sad and overwhelming.
And finally, you've heard about the Hunger Games. Now it's time you learn about the Hunger Scale, starring you, featuring your stomach, volunteering as tribute.
You know, try and be a bit more in touch with your hunger and fullness cues. So I have this thing where it's called like a hunger fullness scale. And so zero is where it's like you're absolutely famished, like you haven't eaten days, which probably no one can really relate to. And 10 is where you're so stuffed. It's almost like Christmas Day stuffed feeling. And where you want to be starting a meal is sort of around that neutral kind of 4 or 5. So we never want to be absolutely famished, because when we're absolutely famished, we're going to eat anything and everything. But if we can kind of start in that 4 or 5 neutral zone, but it's then learning to stop at around that 7 to 8 when we're feeling satisfied, as opposed to stopping at 10.
Taking it up to 11.
Yes, yes.
Staying positive's really important. In the past, when I've tried to eat healthy, if I made one slip up, I'd throw in the towel and pick up the taco. But Alex thinks I should go easier on myself and focus on small changes and building as I go. That's doable.
Don't feel like you're going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly you're doing everything perfectly. I think of it like you're going to learn an instrument. You wouldn't expect that you're going to wake up tomorrow and be perfect at the piano. And it's the same with diet. You know, if you can take away one or two things from today and really implement them, do that for a week, really nail it, and then go back and add 2 more things that we spoke about. So remember, it's small steps that lead to lifelong sustainable habits.
All right, I'm excited. I'll be playing Bach in no time. So we're just here in the supermarket and we're just having a little shop around, having a look, and I always pick things up and go to read the label, and then I realise I don't know what I'm looking at.
Very impressive. Everyone thinks you know what you're doing, but you're actually standing there looking at a jumble of numbers and not knowing what it means.
Oh, sodium, 3 grams, wow. That looks bad.
Not bad.
I've always wanted to know what I should be looking for when I'm trying to figure out if a food is healthy. People pick things up. What are they looking at? So I've come to the cereal aisle with Anna Debnam. She's also a dietitian.
The other half of the biting truth.
That's right. The better half.
And the first thing you got to do, Anna taught me, you need to compare 2 similar items. It's no good just picking up one thing.
Something like oats with something else?
Yeah. What about this one?
Yep, let's do that. With this
granola. Yeah, granola. This brand I haven't heard of.
All right, so I'm always going to say have a look at the back of the packet, which should, for all packaged foods, should have a little table and it should say nutrition information. Now, the main column you want to look at, because there's obviously a lot of numbers there, it can be confusing, is you want to compare the per 100 grams for both products. And that's just because the serving size can be different. And then you want to look, I guess, at the nutrients of importance when it comes to cereals. So we're not going to compare something like calcium, because we don't really get much calcium from cereals. We get that from dairy. So what you want to look at is you're going to want to look at fiber, sugars.
Protein
you might have a look at. Yeah, it's not one of the highest, I guess, protein foods we get from our diet, but you can always have a little look at it. You might want to have a look at energy. And then really we're going to want to look at the ingredients list, because it's really all about what's in that product.
So is energy good?
Energy is great. You need energy to live, absolutely. But the issue is we don't want too much either. So I guess it's getting the right amount of energy to support your energy and your, you know, all that your daily needs, but not too much that, you know, you might end up putting on a bit of weight. I guess that's what happened when we get more energy than we need.
That's what happened to me. I was just carb loading for 20 years.
Yeah, delicious carbs.
It was great. It was a good time.
But I can imagine maybe the carbs you're picking weren't the best ones. But we know now, what ones are we going to go for when it comes to carbs?
Whole grain. Yep. Sorry, we just went through that. Yep.
I'm surprised that for something I consume in my body every day of my life, I know so little about it. This is embarrassing, but also, whatever. I'm learning a lot.
Now let's have a look at, say, the sugar. So you're going to have to bring your eye down there. So per sugars. 100 grams of the oats.
Yeah, 0.8 grams.
Yeah, so under a gram of sugar in the oats.
Per 100 grams.
Yeah.
That seems good.
Yeah, and in the granola, what do we have for
15.9.
sugar?
15.9.
Exactly.
Whoa.
So far we've got more protein, way less sugar in the plain oats versus the granola. So it's, you know, coming out on top already, and we haven't even looked at the ingredients list.
Sugar. Oh, sugar.
The max we want in a day is around 25 grams. So you're already getting half your daily intake, and it's breakfast. You know, it should be a healthy meal. We're not taking into account any treats and biscuits and even sauces and things like that.
I don't want to blow my sugar count on cereal.
No, absolutely not. And then quickly, let's have a look at the ingredients list. How many ingredients in the oats?
Okay, there's one. You got me.
Yeah. Yep. And here?
Ingredients. Whole grain rolled oats, glucose, cranberries, cranberry sugar, sunflower, canola oil, oat flour, pepitas, I don't know what that is, raw sugar, orange pieces, orange juice concentrate.
Yeah, and the list goes on almost. Yeah. So, look, one thing I like about the granola is whole grains is still the first ingredient. So this isn't the absolute worst choice you could be making.
It's better
either.
Than Fruit Loops.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. But there's also much better options out there.
Okay, so that was really insightful. I've got a better idea of things I can look out for to make sure the food I'm buying is healthy. Also, I'm going to try a couple of things this week. Just take it slow, 2 glasses of water at every meal, and make sure I focus on the meal when I'm eating. But knowing what to eat, how to eat is one thing. Knowing how to resist temptation is something else. Okay, so it's a windy day here in the city, and I'm here talking with psychologist Michael McGee. We're having coffee. This could become its own segment.
Windy, coffee, sporty psychology, Michael McGee.
Michael McGee's worked with professional athletes for the past 5 years. He's currently with the New South Wales Super Rugby team, Go Waratahs. Today, we're talking willpower.
So think about willpower as the ability to delay gratification, which is to stop unwanted thoughts or feelings or impulses to achieve a short-term goal, which is not in the better interest of your long-term goal. So what we're talking about here is the ability to use your mind and your thinking to override these sort of behaviours that you have got yourself into that aren't helping you towards the long-term objective, and that can be really difficult and effortful at the moment.
To tackle this, Michael says we need to exercise conscious control.
Conscious control, and that comes from having a few important things down pat. One of them is a specific goal, something that you're moving towards, and the other one is a way to monitor your progress towards that goal.
Wanting to do a backflip and being accountable through a fortnightly national radio segment, that's what works for me, personally. That's how I do it. But that's not for everyone. Of course, you can have a goal. You can work out how to track it and what works for you. Now, weaknesses, specifics. For me, when I drive home from squash on a Monday night, I always feel like a Slurpee. What do I do?
I suppose in your situation, the good thing is that you've now started to realise that you have a goal that doesn't involve going and having that sugar hit at the end of your squash session. So coming up with a alternative thing that you can do to feel like you're having good recovery from exercise and maybe something sweet, but not something like that, is an option.
What if I just drove home a different way?
That could work. You're not being primed and cued and triggered in a way. This is one thing about willpower that we can't really factor in. There are external forces that motivate us to do things. If we are hungry and trying to change our behaviours, but we keep seeing signs for Slurpees that are 99 cents and that's something that we like, then it can really cue us to want to have that thing. And so driving a different way that doesn't involve a 7-Eleven might be nice. You could also think about how you might reward yourself for not doing it.
Michael says reframing how we think about bad habits could be the most powerful way to build the willpower muscle.
You will get into situations where you have to exercise your willpower, and managing that, it has to be done in the present moment. It's very difficult to override impulses and to eat a certain food or drink or spend money on something online or any of these things if you don't have the ability to stop, examine your thoughts, feelings, what's driving your motivation for a particular behaviour, and work out whether it's helpful or not helpful for you. A lot of the time, the habits that we're trying to break, they're well ingrained, and every time we don't kind of act upon them and reward them, we build our own confidence that we can continue to do that. And behaviour change is a lot about confidence, breaking these habits.
Confidence. Confidence in change.
It's all about confidence.
Will I have the confidence to give up Slurpees so I can do a backflip? Only time will tell.